We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call this thing Baltimore Positive. It's going to be very, very good around here this week because it's football season, and some would say it's what I do around here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I will have the Raven Kiss Face Birds to give away at Costas in Dundalk on Friday. Looking forward to a little homecoming. What a week of football here for the Ravens. We have no idea how good they are. Like they don't really play preseason games anymore. New coach, same quarterback, lots of changes. And it's been, let's see, 84, 42 years, 43 since we won a World Series, 42 since Bob Irsay brought those Mayflower vans in and curried our team off to the friendly heart of the Midwest. So where we'll be playing football on Sunday. Bob Kravitz, you know, he feels like he's from Indianapolis, but I remember when he was in Denver and some other places. Dude, you sort of wear the Indiana Hoosier thing as the longtime sort of spokesperson, sports writer, semi-retirement guy. But like, you ain't even from around there. I mean, as well as you knew Jim Irsay, you're not even from there, right?
No, I grew up in New York, and we lived in Chicago for my last 2 years of high school. So no, I mean, I'm from here in the sense that I went to college at Indiana University, national championship Hoosiers. We're a football school, as you well know. And no, I've moved all over the country, but I'm here to stay.
That Scott May era, is that what we're talking about here?
No. I was there during the Isaiah Thomas championship, 81.
Oh, okay, all right. You're a little older than me, but we're a sort of contemporary. What do I know? You know, I go back to Marquette with Kevin Byrne back in the day and whatnot.
Oh,
But
yeah.
sports writers in your era, and as far as I would say, what John Eisenberg once used the term, the golden era of sports writing, is what he said
Was.
to me. And that's an era I wanted to be a part of. I've had Ken Rosenthal, Buster Olney, Tim Kurkjian, all those guys on, covered baseball here at the Sun. Your pathway was columnist different, but like as known for Indianapolis as you've been over the last quarter of a century, especially on this show and with Deflategate and Peyton Manning and the Irsay family and all of that, Andrew Luck as well, I'll throw him in there. What a place for you to settle and to come on to Baltimore radio all these years later with a guy that really remembers all this. Colts Ravens is just Baltimore, Indianapolis, right? It's just like all the Irsay, all the Johnny U. It's over, right? It's way
It's
over.
over. It's just over. I totally understand that, Baltimoreans would have a would feel a certain kind of way about the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, I totally get it, but I mean, they've been in Indianapolis now longer than they were in Baltimore.
I've heard that, and I'm sure I'll hear that more this week. I got over it. What about 2 decades ago? It was 20 years since you had your Super Bowl, right? 15 years? What year was that?
20,
11 or 12, right?
2011.
15 years since you had the Super Bowl there.
Yeah.
Bob's gone. Jimmy's gone. Tell me what the Colts are now. You know, they're not the stolen team from Baltimore. They're not Peyton Manning's Colts. They're not Andrew Luck's. Like, what are they from an identity standpoint? And they're woman-owned, right? Like, the daughters run the team. It is
Right.
a unique franchise in that way, right?
Well, it is. I mean, they're a team looking for an identity. Right now, their identity is mediocrity. Every team in the AFC South has won the division at least twice since the Colts won their last division. So right now, they're just traversing the desert in search of an identity. I think they've got a chance if Daniel Jones can stay healthy, which he hasn't done since 2022, but if he can stay healthy, they've got good guys on the front line. I have questions about their depth, but front line, they are really they're a team that's going to be reckoned with.
Well, you say reckon with Ravens in trouble this week?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I well, look, I think the Colts can play with anybody. The 8-2 that they started out with last year, not is not a mirage, but I have a lot of questions about this Colts defense. Their linebacking situation is kind of a mess. They have no pass rush to speak of. They're waiting on Leiatu Latu to have a breakout season. He had 8.5 sacks last year. They fully expect him to be double digits this year. But there are so many questions defensively that it gives me pause, especially when I think about Lamar Jackson.
I mean, you think about Lamar coming in, and we're here questioning it all. And other than Luke out there watching him run wind sprints, run 7-on-7 or whatever they've been doing the last couple of weeks, we have a new coach here for the first time in 2 decades. He doesn't say anything. He is as vanilla as I've ever seen anyone, and I've covered them all. And he's not trying to be vanilla. I think it's just the way he is. He's a coach's kid, in the Harbaugh school where he never had to step up to the podium. He always had hardballs in front of him. This is a fascinating offensive line for the Ravens, what they're trying to do with the aging part of their roster, which is Ronnie Stanley, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey. I can go through the list of all the usual suspects, all of the guys who haven't won big playoff games around here. So in an era where Joe Flacco took him to the promised land, Ray Lewis took him to the promised land twice, this new thing is really new. And I've been around a long time. It's a 30th year for the Ravens, by the way. The Ravens came 31st year, I should say, 30 years ago. This week is when Ray Lewis played his first game. Vinny Testaverde, the Oakland Raiders, came in. So September 1st, 1996 was the day the Ravens were born. So we're in the middle of that, and 30 years is I. Everyone thinks the Ravens are going to be really, really good because they have Lamar, and everybody probably thinks the Colts are going to be, because they got Jones, right?
9-8.
9-8.
9-8. That's where I've got the Colts. I do think the Ravens, and I haven't studied the Ravens real closely like you do. You're there every day. They seem to me in the preseason to be one of about five teams that could reach the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
That's fair. I mean, I think I wouldn't say Cincinnati can't. I mean, if you have a quarterback, you can. We look at Pittsburgh and Cleveland and say, okay, yeah, they're not going to be the answer. But that being said, the Ravens got to go sing for their supper, and they have a really easy early schedule, perceived as such. Like, they go to Brazil later in the month to play the Cowboys, but the first six games, they could be 6-0. I mean, like, I look at it and say, if they roll the ball out the right way, if they're half as good as you and I think they are, they'll be 6-0. And that's why this Colts thing's a conundrum for me. Road game, so much new, offensive lines new. The Ravens have plenty of questions too, Bob.
Yeah, there are questions. Yeah, no, I think the Colts, if they can stay healthy, which is always, you could say this about every team in the league, but I think the Colts are particularly susceptible to injury because they lack depth. You don't read like to read much in the preseason, but their second and third team guys got absolutely annihilated in the preseason. They went heavy into the waiver wire. They're going to continue to do so here in the next couple of days. So again, I think if their starting guys can stay relatively healthy, they're going to be a team that can win 9 or 10 games. But some injuries and they're in deep stuff.
Bob Kravitz is here. He is the longtime voice of sports in Indianapolis, in the friendly heart of the Midwest. You can find him at Bob Kravitz. That's with a Kravitz. I'll get all that information out as well. He's on social media. When did you arrive in Indy? It was last century, right?
2000.
Oh, it was right at the turn of the century. Okay. So you came in right when Manning came, a year after, huh?
He came in 98,
Okay.
and so he played 2 seasons before I got here, and yeah, that was a thrill covering him. I mean, he's such a wonderful guy and a hellacious quarterback, and it was great fun to cover those teams. I've been very lucky. In Cleveland, I had Bernie Kosar, who was very good. Go to Denver, I covered John Elway. He was damn good. And now and then Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. So I've been pretty fortunate. I've seen a lot of good quarterbacking.
I've been in Baltimore my whole life, and I was syndicated turn of the century, and I went out to Chicago and LA and did all my did all I've been everywhere, man. I'm like Johnny Cash. But When I think about my place here, having watched Brooks and Johnny U, and then had the team stolen after Burt Jones or whatever, and have the legends of Artie Donovan and Lenny Moore and and Boog and Jim Palmer's on television every night, and
Sure.
if not him, it's Ben McDonald here. It was another 1-1. As we get, we're a two-sport town here, and I think about what you landed into in Indianapolis, where 20 years earlier you wouldn't have thought of wanting to be a columnist in
Oh,
Indianapolis,
no.
right? When you were in Cleveland, you're doing Bernie Kosar. Sorry, you wouldn't think like Indianapolis. And then we lose our team and get a team back. Ray Lewis, John Ogden, Rod Woodson, Shannon Sharpe, the guys that have come through here. And now this Lamar era, we've had a Harbaugh through here, right? Like we have a Lamar era going on here. They haven't won, man. I
They
mean,
haven't.
and the Peyton thing, when you came into the Peyton era, I remember being down in Miami with Purple Rain and Prince and the rain and all that. Like, it took Peyton Manning a long time.
It
It
did.
takes a lot of guys a long time.
I was just going to mention it that Peyton didn't win a playoff game until I don't have it in front of me, but 5 or 6 years in the league before he won a playoff game. And for the longest time, the question was the same question you have about Lamar. Can he do it when the pressure's the highest? And for a long time, Peyton did not get it done, just like Lamar has struggled in the postseason. It eventually the worm turned eventually, and the Colts got over the hump. But that's kind of where Baltimore is right now, it seems to me.
Dude, you covered Elway. First off, I loved Elway, even though he cost us the franchise, and like I always rooted for Elway. I was at the Drive game in Cleveland in '86 because I flew out there because I wanted to see Elway play. I only saw him play one of the greatest games ever. One of the greatest things I've ever witnessed was the Drive in Cleveland that day, even all these years later, 40 years later, right? But Elway didn't win. He's famous for getting the Super Bowls and not having a team good
Right.
enough to win, kind of, sort of, right?
He got smoked, and he those teams were good. They weren't great, and go up against San Francisco, Washington at the time. I mean, they got blown the hell out in those Super Bowls. And I remember when they played Green Bay, and they were heavy underdogs, and they beat them to death. Their undersized offensive line had Gilbert Brown sucking wind really on the second possession. So yeah, they that was an amazing win. And then the helicopter play with Elway. I remember turning to Mike Litwin, who who is a columnist in Baltimore and of course in Denver, and we both looked at each other and said, "It's over. They're going to win this game." I mean, when Elway went airborne, you just knew. You
I
just knew.
was in the front row of the end zone at Jack Murphy Stadium when the helicopter happened. And I've only been on the cover of Sports Illustrated once in my life. I'm on the cover of that Sports Illustrated, and I'm like this in the end zone as
Wow.
Terrell Davis is going, oh, the picture that was on the cover of the sport where Elway's turned around and doing this. I'm
Yeah.
on the cover of Sports Illustrated from that.
Wow, good for you. Yeah.
I'm this big, but I'm in the stands. Bob Kravitz is here. I'm telling memories and stories. I'm doing a lot of music stuff. We're about to go into this baseball strike, which doesn't affect you folks in Indiana, which will be a big deal around here. This football season feels a little bit more urgent in Baltimore than it has in other places because this group hasn't won. It's been tick-tock 12 years. We got the coach fired, didn't make the playoffs last year, had a scandal with the kicker, all of that. I mean, the bright lights on Lamar at this point start to feel like maybe where they were. And same thing with Josh Allen, right? New coach, new stadium, all that going on. The pressure on quarterbacks that are $85 million cap numbers next year. DaCosta had to take questions this week. You never had a lot of that in Indy. Like, it was pretty stable there because
Oh my
Peyton
God.
made it stable, and the ownership wasn't even like stable. Jimmy was a lot of things. I don't know if he was stable, but Peyton calmed things down there. And I think after the first victory, right, It got very calm. And then the neck, right? Then it became a medical issue for him later in his career. But what a glorious quarterback era to cover. I can't say that I've had that here with Lamar Jackson, even being thrown out because it's been choppy injury. He's such a different kind of quarterback. How's it going to play when he doesn't run anymore? Like, we're still very in progress for a guy with Lamar that we've already said, oh, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He hasn't
Right.
won games. He hasn't won big
Nope.
games.
Nope. And you talk about the pressure in Baltimore. I mean, there's enormous pressure here because basically Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen are coaching, and they're playing for their jobs. Carly Ursay Gordon has made it abundantly clear that if they don't make the playoffs, and I would say if they don't make the if they If they make the playoffs and get run in their first game, I think either way, Ballard is done. I think Steichen might be done. I hate the idea of bringing in a new GM with the old coach. I think that's a recipe for disaster. But yeah, they're playing for their employment lives around here in Indianapolis. So this is an enormously important season for Indy and Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen.
In your market, women's basketball explosion, right? I mean, Indiana's always there for basketball and now there for football. The market's changed a lot in Indianapolis for what Carly Ursay has that her grandfather and father didn't have with the franchise. They stole from us. I'm going to still point that out 42 years ago. But what kind of owner is she going to be, her and her sisters, and what is the state of that there? Because I think people here would remember young Jim. Were the girls born there or were they born here?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like they might have been like sort of born here, but all they know is Indiana, all they know
Sure.
is Colts, and they were really groomed to do this role, right?
They are. They did. They are, and they have. Carly has been very hands-on. She's down on the sidelines for games, for practices.
I
She's
see her wearing a headset, right?
wears
Like,
a headset.
yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's something she's going to do in the short term as she learns the team and the game better and then goes up to the owner's box later, or I have to ask her, or if this is something that she's going to continue to do for as long as she's the steward of this team. But I give her credit, and the players, I don't know if they like her, standing over their shoulder necessarily, but hell, she is the owner. She can do whatever the hell she wants. And she's learning the game and at a very granular level. And I think that's great. Jimmy, for all his eccentricities, really knew football. And while he made some really bizarre decisions in the last 5 years, decisions that I think were fueled by his drug use, he was a football guy who started, from the very ground up under his father. So that's essentially what Carly has done. The other two sisters are not as involved. They do a lot of stuff with marketing and with the mental health initiative and stuff like that. But Carly's the one.
It's amazing, Bob. Bob Kravitz is our guest in Indianapolis as the Ravens travel out to start the season in Indy this week. You can't mention Jim without mentioning his drug use, right? Like, and you and I talked at length after he died. I unearthed that really interesting interview I did with him down at the owners' meetings about 2009 or 10. It was right after he won the Super Bowl, so maybe 10 or 11. And well, they won in six. So, right, six or seven, right? So it was eight or nine is when it was. And I sat with him and talked to him about his father and about leadership and about leadership style. He was very sober with me that day. And I knew Jim and I liked Jim. And Jim invited me to things and Pete Ward. And people in Baltimore have always thought it's sort of weird that I didn't think it was weird at all because Jim was always so nice to me and hospitable, and I wind up talking to him about Tom Petty and the Beatles. Like when I think about Jim Irsay, we did not talk about his father or Owings Mills or the Colts or Bob Loeffler or anything, Burt Jones. We talked about the Beatles. We talked about music when I talk with Jim Irsay, you
Yeah,
know?
we talk about Hunter S. Thompson, Jack Kerouac, Jack Ginsburg, or Allen Ginsberg,
Well,
excuse
you're a writer, so he wanted to
me.
talk about writers with you,
Oh,
right?
yeah. And we talked a lot about music, about Nirvana and the whole Seattle grunge thing. And I loved the guy. I feel terrible that drugs took him from us. The last 5 years, I've talked with people in the organization, and the last 5 years were a disaster. And that's when he decided to fire Frank Reich, and he brought in Jeff Saturday, and he insisted on benching who was the Matt Ryan. A lot of really bizarre, reckless decisions, which I have to think were the product of an addled mind, quite honestly.
And you think this is a good, his daughter running the team and where it's been, the stability. Listen, dude, I'm reading Belson's book right now on the NFL.
Okay.
And he had a quote in there. And I don't have the book in front of me. And I didn't, and I said this when I had him on, I couldn't even find it. But there was a quote about like a Jets general manager 30 years ago said something about the next guy's always worse. In regard to, I think it was Dan Snyder coming into the league at the time. So that's how far back we go, where it's like the next guy's always worse. Dude, I waited for Angelos to perish, sell, timeout, whatever needed to happen. And these new guys, they're not better. And they might be worse because they've from around here. They're out of town billionaire hedge fund creeps who do the papal wave and write the check and want no responsibility, think no responsibility. I don't think the Irsay family, despite what you would hear in Baltimore about, they haven't operated that way in 50 years in Indianapolis, right?
No. I mean, I think with Carly, they're in a very good place because you got somebody who's involved, who's, doesn't have the same demons that her father had. I think she's making, they caught a lot of crap for trading two first rounders for Sauce Gardner. I still think that's going to end up being a good trade for them. I really do. I applauded Chris Ballard last year when they were 8-2 and they decided to go for it. I mean, we've been
You like him,
screaming.
don't you? You said so. Yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of GMs there, back to Napoleon and whatever. You think Ballard's done a good job or no?
No, 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 no,
No?
no, no, no. I thought that that was a good trade.
Okay.
I thought that was a good trade. No, I mean, he's 70, 79, and one in his 9 years here. They haven't won a division title. So no, he has not done a good job. And this is it for him. They've got to make the playoffs, and I think they need to make some noise in the playoffs if Chris Ballard wants to keep his job. It is amazing to me how long he has lasted with this lack of success.
He goes back to Pagano, right? Like almost,
Of
right?
course he does. Yeah.
Wow, it's been a while.
He came in and they got rid of Gregson. And that's why I'm saying I don't like the idea of keeping a coach with a new GM coming in, because Ballard came in and he was stuck with Pagano. They had a terrible season. Pagano was a lame duck, and it was clear by middle of the season that Chuck was not going to last. And so yeah, that's kind of where that is.
Bob Kravitz is here. You can follow Indianapolis and Indiana sports with him. He is out at bobkravitz.com, longtime columnist and longtime writer, television, done it all, and in semi-retirement, but still knows a lot about the Colts, which is why he's my first call. And I'm going to Chapel too, but for you with the state of your state and sports, and when I think of Indianapolis, I think of tourism, I think of the Final Fours, I think of the 500, I think of all of that. The football side of the university, the NIL thing being something that is probably embraced in your part of the world far more than it can be at College Park, where it's just not going to work. They're going to get their heads beaten in, especially at football and probably at basketball too now, for a while until they figure out the new Wild Wild West. But the Colts being this anchor, the WNBA thing being sort of the heart of the league is where you are at this point,
Absolutely.
and all of the drama around it, which I don't watch it. I'm not going to get into it. I hate the drama. I hate the black white. I hate the hair pulling. I like the sport of women's basketball, but
Right.
whatever this league is, it's like WWF trash to me. So I'm not into it. But I had Shining on last week. The first thing he talked about was the Mystics. So like, and I feel like I'm missing out on something, but I feel like, nah, I'm seeing Rush reunite. I'm good. I got my things. But in your place to fall into that, where covering women's college, women's pro basketball is now a thing. College football has become a real thing there. Not that Purdue wasn't, but where do the Colts lie in all of this in Pacer land, in getting money from people in a, I don't, it's not a growing community. It is what it's Indianapolis. It is what it
Right.
is. But like, where do the Colts sit in all of that?
They're the sleeping giant in this city. When the Colts are good, they completely dominate the airwaves. They dominate the words on a page. They are the darlings around here. They haven't been for 10 years, but it's like I tell people, Indiana University won a national title in football. But if they ever win one in basketball, look the hell out, because that's the first love of Indiana University followers is basketball. I mean, the football thing was great, but basketball has the city, the town's heartbeat. And I'd say that about the Colts. I mean, the Pacers got to the finals. IU won the national title, the Fever are probably going to make a run here in the playoffs in a couple of weeks. But when the Colts are right and the Colts are winning, there's no bigger franchise in town.
They're 8-2 last year. Bob Kravitz will be covering the game on Sunday. Luke will be covering all things Ravens all week long. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it first on the WNST text service. That's old school, 20th anniversary. All of it brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, taking care of the solar needs. Bob, it is so good to catch up with you, man. I'm sorry I'm not traveling and coming out. And, I told my friend Morgan, who runs the tourism there, I said, man, I don't come out for combine anymore, and I don't complain about that. But like, just a little St. Elmo's, just make
Oh,
my
stupid.
nose run and my
Yeah.
eyes run a little bit with that cocktail. Just I could use not a week, but a weekend in Indianapolis. I'd be fine with a weekend in Indianapolis. I'm
Yeah,
okay with that.
there's a lot to do and a lot of good places to eat and drink and be merry.
Send me some kolaches. Appreciate you, man.
Just take care of yourself,
Bob
buddy.
Kravitz joining us here. Find him at bobkravitz.com. It is football season here, I swear, even though this baseball team's going to run us ragged as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. We'll see you Costas on Friday on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour.